Blog Talk Radio.
For my soul,
just for my soul, I need.
And I'm tired of crying all night, just for my
soul.
Lord, I need Thee, oh, I need Thee to take away this pain and misery. 'Cause God, I just can't do this by myself. I need a help, Lord. Gave my body and my soul away. So now I come to You just to behold, heal my soul.
Morning, Blog Talk Radio, November 12, 2022. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praises shall continually to be in my mouth. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the second week in November. The end of the year is just around the corner, and I am your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we're going to honor our host today, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled lesson on today, so let's get right into it. Announcement. Come hear a word from Dr. Carey at the Word of Truth Pentecostal Church at 415 West 111th Street. Service starts at 11 o'clock a.m. Please keep this ministry, AGMI, in your prayers as we undergo changes and restructuring. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries. Amen. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Thank you to those that have sent in your donation. They are well appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in this new year. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. text at 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, AmazinggraceMinistries@gmail.com. We're on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. We have exciting lessons, so please tune in to connect to this lesson live. The link is http://tobtr.com/s/12164186. Here's the lesson explained. We have a word on today that will captivate your mind, illuminate your heart, and lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to a great peace, to greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we prepare for the upcoming winter season. The theme for this month of November is Bringing Holiday Healing. The lesson for this second Saturday in November is We Are Healed by Our Faith. Amen. Our text is coming from Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 18th through the 26th verse, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even dead, now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about. And when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place. The maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid rose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. I have two definitions for the Greek word faith. The Greek word for faith is pistis, which means belief, trust, confidence, fidelity, faithfulness. The Greek word for healed is sozo, which means to be saved, preserved, rescued, whole. Jesus, our healer. Miracles serve three purposes in the ministry of Jesus. First, they authenticate God's power and presence in Jesus' life and ministry. Second, they reinforce the teaching and preaching and ministry of Jesus as proof that the kingdom of God had come near. Jesus' message of repentance and forgiveness are all reinforced through miracles. Jesus often told those who came seeking healing that their sins had been forgiven. Third, the miracles of Jesus prepared the way for the sending of the 12 on their first missionary journey. In Matthew 10, Jesus sends the disciples out in his name and the power of his spirit to be preached, teach, and healed. The single thread that connects each of Jesus' miracles is personal faith in Jesus' power to relieve suffering. In some instances, Jesus simply spoke and the person was healed. In others, Jesus conveyed healing by physically touching the sick. Jesus was filled so with so much power and virtue that the woman on the road to Capernaum believed that all she needed to be healed was to touch the hem of Jesus' clothes. I'm going to give you some biblical background. All three synoptics of the gospel records this event in this passage with Matthew's account, his account being shorter than both Mark in Mark 5:21-24 and Luke 8:40-56. Matthew omits many of the smaller and final details provided by Mark and Luke, such as the name of the synagogue leader, Jairus. There's no mention of Matthew of the large crowd that followed Jesus to the home of Jairus. In Mark, thing begins at the seashore and winds its way through the narrow streets of Capernaum. Both Mark and Luke record that the girl was still alive, whereas in Matthew, she had already died. With regards to the woman with the issue of blood, Matthew omits the question asked by Jesus, "Who touched me?" Matthew makes no mention of the woman's long struggle in trying to find physicians who could help her. Matthew does include the musicians who had gathered at Jairus' home. These minstrels played music intended to set the atmosphere for a family's free expression of grief and loss. However, the healing power of Christ brings joy and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In Matthew 9, Jesus begins another series of miracles and saying which demonstrates his power and authority. Matthew 9, 18 through 31 contains the account of three miracles performed by Jesus. He raised the daughter of a certain leader from the dead, as 9, 18, and then 23 through 26. He healed the woman with the hemorrhage of blood, 9, 20 through 22, and restored the sight of two blind men, that's 9, 27 through 31. In each instance, Jesus physically touched the persons who were healed and raised from the dead. He also recognized their faith in him throughout this section, beginning at Matthew 8 and 1. Jesus demonstrated authority and power over nature, demons, sickness, and even death. Verses 18 through 26, we here have two passages of history put together, that of the raising of Jairus' daughter to life and that of the curing of the woman that had the bloody issue. As he was going to Jairus' house, which is introduced in the parentheses in the midst of the other, for Christ's miracles was thickly sown and interwoven, the work of him that sent him was his daily work. Jews 9 and 18. A certain ruler, a ruler of the synagogue, came and worshiped him. Have any other rulers believed on him? Well, here was one, a church ruler, whose faith condemned the unbelief of the rest of the rulers. This ruler had a little daughter of 12 years old, just dead, and this breach made upon his family comforts was the occasion of his coming to Christ. In trouble, we should go to God. When we encounter the death of our relations, it should drive us to Christ, who is our life. When afflictions happen in our families, we must not sit down astonished, but as Job, fall down and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The word states that the elders came to Christ himself and did not send his servant. He worshiped him, bowed his knees to him, and gave him all imaginable respect, which in return the elder received mercy from Christ. Healing comes when we believe and put our trust in Christ and worship at his feet. We must give honor to Christ. His faith is addressed. My daughter is even now dead. And though any other physicians would now come too late, yet Christ comes not too late. He is a physician after death, for he is the resurrection and the life. Oh, come then and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. This was quite above the power of nature, yet within the power of Christ, who has life in itself, and quicken whom he will. Ordinary by nature and not against it. And therefore, we cannot, in faith, bring him such a request as this while there is life. There is hope and room for prayer. But when our friends are dead, the case is determined, we shall go to them, but they shall not return to us. But while Christ was here upon earth working miracles, such a confidence as this was not only allowable, but very commendable. The readiness of Christ to comply with this address in Matthew 9:19, Jesus immediately arose, left his company, and followed him. He was not only willing to grant him what he desired in raising his daughters to life, but to gratify him so far as to come to his house to do it. Now observe, when Jesus followed him, so did his disciples, whom he had chosen from his constant companions. It was not for state, but that he might come with observation, that he took his attendants with him, but that they might be the witnesses of his miracles, who were afterwards to be the preachers of his doctrine. The healing of a poor woman's bloody issue. She was a poor woman, not only because her case was piteous, but because she had spent all of her money on physicians for the cure of her distemper and was never the better, which was a double aggravation of the misery of her condition, that she had been full but now was empty, and that she had impoverished herself for the recovery of her health, and yet she had neither health nor wealth. This woman was diseased with a constant issue of blood 12 years, Matthew 9 and 20, a disease which was not only weakening and wasting and under which the body must need languish, but which also rendered her ceremonial unclean and shut out from the courts of the Lord's house. But it did not cut her off from approaching Christ. She applied herself to Christ and received mercy from him as he followed the ruler, whose daughter was dead, to whom it would be a great encouragement and some help to keep up his faith in the power of Christ. This woman had great faith in Christ and in his power. Her disease was of such a nature that her modesty would not suffer her to speak openly to Christ for a cure as others did, but by a peculiar impulse of the spirit of faith, she believed him to have such an overflowing fullness of healing virtue that the very touch of his garment would be her cure. Her faith had no precedent for this way of application to Christ, but what weakness of understanding there was in it. Christ was pleased to overlook and to accept the sincerity and strength of her faith. She believed she should be healed if she did but touch the very hem of his garment, the very extremity of it. There is virtue in everything that belongs to Christ. The holy oil with which the high priest was anointed ran down to the skirts of his garment. Psalms 133 and 2, and this is the King James Version. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. We may receive John 1 and 16, King James Version. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. Christ's great favor to this woman. He did not suspend his healing influences, but suffered this bashful patient to steal a cure unknown to anyone else. Though she could not think to do it unknown to him, and now she was well content to be gone, for she had what she came for. But Christ was not willing to let it go unknown. Christ would not only have his power magnified in her cure, but his grace magnified in her comfort and condemnation. The triumph of her faith must be to her praise and honor. He turned about to see her, Matthew 9:22, and soon discovered her. He puts gladness into her heart by the word, "Daughter, be of good comfort." She feared being rebuked for coming secretly, but she is encouraged. He called her daughter, for he spoke to her with the tenderness of a father, as he did to a man sick of palsy, Matthew 9:2, whom he called son. Christ had comforts ready for the daughter of Zion, who are of a sorrowful spirit as Hannah was, 1 Samuel 1:15. Women believers are Christ's daughters, and he will own them as such. He bids her be of good comfort. She has reason to be so. If Christ owned her for a daughter, the same consolation is found in their adoption. His bidding her to be comforted brought comfort with it, as his saying, "Be ye whole," brought health with it. It is the will of Christ that his people should be comforted, and it is his prerogative to command comfort to the troubled spirits. He creates the fruit of his lips, peace. Isaiah 57:19, and this is the King James Version. I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, said the Lord, and I will heal him. He puts honor upon her faith. Thy faith have made thee whole. Thus by her faith she obtained a good report. Christ put the greatest honor upon faith. So all of believers, he put the greatest honor upon those that are most humble. As here, who had more faith than she thought she had. She had reason to be of good comfort, not only because she was made whole, but because her faith had made her whole. That is, one, she was spiritually healed. That cure was wrought in her, which is the proper fruit and effect of faith, the pardon of sin and the work of grace. We may then be abound comforted in our temporal mercies when they are accompanied with those spiritual blessings that resemble them. Our food and raiment will be comfortable when by our faith we are fed with the bread of life and clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our rest and sleep will be comfortable when by faith we respond in God and dwell at ease in him. Our health and prosperity will be comfortable when by faith our souls prosper and are in health. In 17, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit, so wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. 2, her bodily cure was the fruit of faith, of her faith, and that made it a happy, comfortable cure indeed. They out of whom the devils were cast were helped by Christ's sovereign power, some by the faith of others, as Matthew 9 and 2. But it is thy faith that has made thee whole. 3, temporal mercies are then comforted indeed to us when they are received by faith. If when in pursuit of mercy, pray for it in faith with an eye to the promise and in dependence upon that, if we desired it for the sake of God's glory and with the resignation to God's will and have our hearts and enlarged by it in faith, love, and obedience, we may then say it was received by faith that we are healed. Thank you, Jesus. Noise that makes weakening our healing. The condition in which Christ found the ruler's house, Matthew 9:23. He saw the people and the minstrels or musicians making a noise. The house was in a hurry. The people in the neighborhood came together to console on account of the loss, to comfort the parents, to prepare for and attend on a funeral, which the Jews were not wont to defer long. The musicians were among them, according to the customs of their doleful, melancholy tunes, to increase the grief and stir up the lamentations of those that attended on this occasion. The parents, who were immediately touched with the affliction, were silent, while the people and minstrels whose lamentations were forced made such a noise. The loudest grief is not always the greatest. Rivers are most noisy when they run shallow. That grief is most sincere, which shuns observation. But notice is taken of this, to show that the girl was really dead, in the undoubtful apprehension of all about her. The rebuke that Christ gave to this hurry and noise, Matthew 9:24, he said, give place. Sometimes when the sorrow of the world prevails, it is difficult for Christ and his comforts to enter. They that harden themselves in sorrow and like Rachel refuse to be comforted should think that they hear Christ saying to their disquieting thoughts, give place. Make room for him who is the consolation of Israel and bring with him strong consolation, strong enough to overcome the confusion and the tyranny of these worldly griefs, if he may be admitted into the souls. He gives a good reason why they should not thus disquiet themselves in one another. The maid is not dead, but sleepeth. In verses 25 and 26, after the people had been put out of the house, Jesus went into the room where the girl was lying on the bed. Jesus did not say a single word. He offered no prayers. He merely took the young lady by the hand, and she arose from her bed of death. Theologically, Matthew lays the groundwork for the miraculous resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If Jesus, by his very presence, has the power to raise a dead girl, then what power does death have over him? Hallelujah. The response was almost instant. The word spread quickly about what had happened. And fame hereof went abroad into all the land. That's verse 26. News of this miracle spread quickly throughout all Galilee and eventually to Jerusalem. In conclusion, we cannot allow the noise of Satan to distract us from receiving what God has already gifted us, and that is healing. By faith, we are healed. By faith, we have what the word tells us we have. And therefore, we must stand on the word of God and believe by faith. Faith cometh by hearing the word. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, and this is the New King James Version. By faith, we understand. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Faith is the confident belief in the truth of the word, a value of trustworthiness in God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the idea of being whole. As Christ said to the woman that touched the hem of his garment, thou faith has made us whole, soul, and spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, before we ask you for anything, just allow us to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. And we come to say thank you on this morning. Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord God, we thank you for waking us this morning, Lord God, with our minds towards listening to the blog today, Lord God. And we thank you for that, Lord God. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing, God. Lord God, we thank you for Dr. Carey and this lesson on today, God. Look on Dr. Carey, Lord God, and then, Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us for any sins we have committed, God, knowingly and unknowingly. And then, Lord God, forgive us for our shortcomings. Lord God, look on my pastor, the Special Assistant Superintendent, Dr. Byron L. Gibbs, and his wife, Lady Gibbs. Look on our assistant pastor, the Elder Reginald Johnson and Evangelist Johnson, Lord God. Lord God, look on your people everywhere, Lord God. Look on the leaders. Look on the leaders. Look on each and every one of our leaders, Lord God. Look on the world leaders, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We just thank you again on today, Lord God, for this lesson, because truly our faith is what's going to make us whole, Lord God. Thank you for healing power, God, because we are truly healed, waiting on our manifestation, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you again for reminding us that we are healed by our faith. Help us to not let our minds be on the things of our daily circumstances, but on you, because God, you are still full in control. We surrender to your will and your way. Now, God, keep us. Keep us so that we will obey, God. We give you thanks, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah, the highest praise. Hallelujah. Now, God, look on the bereaved families on today, Lord God. God, you know what they need to go through these times, Lord God. And then, Lord God, we ask you to continue to look on your people everywhere. Look on the listeners one by one, name by name, God. Look on our Dean Boyd, God. Look on Mother Garnett, Mother Lucky, Mother Gibbs, God. Mother Carpenter, Missionary Moore, God. Look on Mother Christine Banks, Sister Gloria, God. Look on Sister Pat, Mother Norman, Mother Maxine, Mother Florida, Missionary Harvey, God. Look on Lady Stevens, Lord God, touch her body. Hallelujah. Heal, and we speak in healing power, God. Look on Sister Peacock this morning, God. Dad Ellis, God. Look on Deacon Fondren, God. Look on everyone that said pray for me, and if I didn't call their names, God. Hallelujah. Look on those unspoken requests that have been offered up to you. And, Lord God, we just going to give you the glory. We give you the honor, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio this morning, where the Reverend Dr. Maria Carey is your host, and today, truly, your Evangelist Rogers, your co-host, was on today. Tune in next week, same time, and I will be returning. Enjoy the remainder of your day. Wear your mask. Be mindful, knowing that God is still in control. Have a wonderful and fulfilled day on purpose. Be blessed.